We've been preaching this whole year, back and forth between the book of Acts and the prophet of fire, Elijah. This message doesn't really fit into either one of those series, although it is from the book of Acts. And we're just really trying to learn how we can make a difference in our world. And today, really, you will be able to see how you can make a difference through prayer. But aren't you glad that heaven has an installed voicemail? I mean, can you imagine praying and hearing the following? Thank you for calling heaven. Your prayers are important to us. Please select one of the following options. Press 1 for a request. Press 2 for thanksgiving. Press 3 for complaints. Press 4 for all other inquiries. I'm sorry. All our angels are helping other sinners right now. However, your prayer is important to us, and we will answer it in the order in which it was received. So please stay on the line. If you would like to hear King David sing a psalm while you're holding, press 4. If you're checking on a loved one that has been assigned to heaven, press 5, and then enter his or her social security number, followed by the pound sign. If you get a negative response, please hang up and try area code 666. For reservations in heaven, please enter J-O-H-N followed by the numbers 316. For answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs, the age of the earth, life on other planets, and where Noah's Ark is, please wait until you arrive. Our computers show that you have already prayed once today. Please hang up and try again tomorrow. The office is now closed for the weekend to observe a religious holiday. Please pray again on Monday after 9:30 a.m., if you're calling after hours and need emergency assistance, please contact your local pastor. Thank you for calling heaven. Aren't you glad you don't have those? You guys like those answering machines? I hate them. As soon as I dial, I start hitting 0, hoping that I can get an operator. God says, call upon me and I will answer and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is available 24/7. There's a great story here on prayer in Acts chapter 12. I'd like to pick it up with verse 5. I referred to it last week. I wanted to give it some more time today. Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but, I like that word but there. It makes all the difference in the world. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. That is, Peter was being planned on being executed the next morning. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed thence. He departed and went into another place. And we'll stop there. I was looking at my notes to see how far I was supposed to read. That's why I got messed up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time today, and we thank you for this prayer meeting that this church had, and how prayer moves your hand and causes all kinds of things to happen, even in the miraculous realm. And we pray, Lord, that today we would just again be challenged and spurred on in our prayer life, that our prayers would be effective. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This is a great verse on prayer, because it seems like there is no hope for Peter. He is in a maximum security prison. The prison is guarded on the outside with two guards by the door. There's 16 guards who are guarding Peter. Wow, he must have been a pretty important guy to have 16 guards assigned to him. And really, that's not even all, because there's two guards that are chained to him by either hand. So on this hand, he's chained to a guard. On this hand, he's chained to another guard, and he's in a pickle. I mean, he is in a crisis situation. And on top of all of this, he is sentenced to die the next morning. James has already been given his life as a martyr, and soon Peter is to follow in the same. There seems to be no hope for Peter. Every door is shut. Well, every door that is, except one. There's one door that's looking straight up, you know, and that's the only door that he can see. That's a door that is open for all of us at any time, and nobody can shut it. That's the door of prayer, right? You know, if there's nothing else you can do, you can always pray. And when there's no hope on the horizontal level, there's always hope on the vertical level. And so I want us to look at this verse. I want us to pull over and park for a moment. I'm not going to speak for a long time this morning, but I want us to pull over and park here, because we see some important things about prayer. Realizing that Peter is in this position, it's the mystery of God's providence. It's the mystery of God's sovereignty. But even so, there's something that people can do, and that is minister. There's the sovereignty of God. There's the providence of God. It's a mystery to us. But even so, God has said that in the midst of this mystery, in the midst of my providence and sovereignty, you have a ministry of prayer. And I believe that God calls us. God calls the church to this ministry of prayer. And I want us to see several things about prayer here this morning. First of all, I want you to see the frequency of the prayer. I don't have a PowerPoint this morning, but these are pretty easy outline if you want to follow along. They're really having to do with the letter F. So frequency. The frequency of the prayer. Look at verse 5. Prayer was made without ceasing. Now they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And they didn't stop praying. They just kept praying. And sometimes we ask, why doesn't God answer prayer? Peter is in prison. It doesn't seem like God's in any hurry to get him out. But God is teaching a lesson here that you find throughout Scripture. And one of the greatest lessons we can ever learn about prayer is that we have to be persistent. We have to pray, and we have to keep on praying. We have to be persistent in our prayers. We are to pray without ceasing. Two of the biggest parables that Jesus ever taught on prayer had to do with persistence. The one is the parable of the friend at midnight, where somebody came knocking on their friend's door and said, I need bread. I'm hungry. We're traveling. We need something to eat. The man doesn't have any bread in the house. So he goes to his neighbor. Can you imagine going to your neighbor at midnight and borrowing food for a friend? But the guy said, I don't want to get out of bed. I'm tucked in, all in bed here, and we're all comfortable, and we're just settled in for the evening. You know, wait until morning. And the guy was persistent, and he said, no, I will not go until you give me bread so that I have something that I can give my traveling friends. And we've talked about the triangle of prayer, and prayer is really one person going to get bread from a third person. And what we do when we lift up the needs of other people, we are going to God on their behalf, getting bread to help them. The other parable where Jesus talked about prayer that required persistence was the widow woman with the reluctant judge. The judge didn't want to give her justice, but she didn't give up. And finally, because of the persistence of the widow woman, the judge granted her request. And this is not to say that God is reluctant in answering our prayers. Rather, Jesus was saying just the opposite is true. That if an ungodly judge will give in to the cries and the pleadings of a widow, how much more will your heavenly Father give you what you ask of him? And so there needs to be this persistence in prayer. We're to ask and seek and knock. We are to ask and keep on asking. We are to seek and keep on seeking. We are to knock and keep on knocking until finally the door is opened. And it's not that God is reluctant, but God wants us to learn the value of persistence in prayer. The second thing is the fervency of the prayer. Fervency. That word, without those words, without ceasing, may be translated intensely. Remember last week we talked about Elijah, and we saw that he prayed fervent prayers. And the word there for fervent is the same word here, without ceasing. And that word fervent means intensely. Remember how we talked about the word meaning to stretch out? And it was a picture of a horse that's running and jumping hurdles. And how, you know how the body of that horse just stretches out as it goes over a hurdle? That's the kind of praying that we are to do with our souls stretched out to God. It was really a Jewish idiom saying that in prayer, pray. Or praying in prayer, pray. It just means that there are different levels of praying. There's the kind of praying that, you know, we're usually accustomed to. Now I lay me down to sleep. The Lord bless my soul to keep. And then there is praying. There is getting down to the business of prayer and intercession. The fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much power available. You know that prayer in the Bible is sometimes referred to as wrestling. And Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." That you strive together. Have you ever thought about prayer as striving, as wrestling, as agonizing? And that's what real prayer is. When you really get involved in intercession, you're going to find out that the devil will oppose you. He doesn't want us to pray because he knows that prayer moves the hand of God. He knows that prayer changes things. And sometimes we feel like we don't want to pray. I don't know if you've ever prayed that. Have you ever been there where you haven't felt like praying? But let me tell you, if there's ever a time when you don't feel like praying, that's when you need to really pray. That's the time when you need to do it. You don't feel like it, but you pray anyway, and then you pray until you feel like praying. And praying fervently. And then the third thing is the fellowship of the prayer. Fellowship. The Bible says that it was made of the church. There in verse 5, prayer was made without ceasing. They didn't quit. Their souls were stretched out to God. They were striving together. They were wrestling in prayer. But the prayer was being prayed by the church. That is, the people of the church came together to pray. I know the church sometimes gets a bad rap these days. You know, when people think, well, I don't really need to be a member of a church to live the Christian life. But let me tell you, there's going to come a time when you have your prayers answered, something's going on in your life, and you're going to want to call upon the church. And this was a group of believers. Yeah, the building's not important, but there was a place where they could gather together. These believers were gathered together in corporate prayer. They are praying together. And God is pleased when his children pray, but God is even more pleased when his children pray together in fellowship. Where two or three are gathered together in fellowship, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Prayer was made of the church for Peter. And then the fourth thing is the faith of the prayer. The prayer was made unto God. They were not praying to one another. They were not praying to impress one another. They were praying to God. These were not little memorized prayers. These are not half-hearted prayers. These are sincere prayers, deep prayers. And they're not really even aware of the people that are around them listening to their prayer. They are praying to God. They're focused in on praying to God. I heard about a young lawyer, got his degree, opened up a brand new law office, didn't have any clients yet, didn't even have a secretary, but he had a shingle out front, you know? And he heard footsteps coming down the hallway, and he thought, oh great, this is my first client. So he picked up the phone, and like he was busy and important, he said, yeah, hello? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't make it then. Perhaps next Thursday. See, I have a heavy corporation case coming on Wednesday, and he's going on about these things that he supposedly has to do. And he says, you know what? We'll make arrangements. And he hangs up the phone. About this time, the man who had come in was standing in front of his desk. And he said, yes, sir, how may I help you? And the man said, well, I'm from the telephone company. I've come to hook up your telephone. Sometimes when we pray, we're trying to impress the people around us, but we don't need to impress them. What we need to do is just express our heart to God. These people were desperate. Their prayer was unto God. Peter's in prison. They're going to pray. Somebody has wisely said that the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And that is the focus of prayer. Prayer is unto God. This is prayer unto the God that controls the universe. I don't know if you remember earlier on in the book of Acts, as the apostles were gathering together in prayer to make really a simple petition, they spent more time focusing on who God was than they did in expressing their need, their petition. And that's because when we realize who God is, it builds our faith. And they focused mainly upon God being the creator. And I believe the reason for that is if God can create everything that you can see and you cannot see, if God can create this world and God can create this universe, then our prayers don't seem that big. Our requests don't seem that big. And so it builds our faith in the bigness of God. If he can do that, then he can surely do what I need for him to do in my life. Did you hear about the poor lady that got hit by a baseball bat last week in Boston? And at first she was life-threatening injuries, and I guess she's in serious condition, but she's expected to survive. And I was reading the article last night, and at the end, it was by Hardball Talk or something. And by the end of the article, the author said, and we at Hardball send positive thoughts to her. I read that and I thought, what in the world are positive thoughts? How are positive thoughts going to help anyone? And I had to show it to my wife, and she said, boy, you know, like, where are you? I mean, you're behind times. Everybody talks about positive thoughts nowadays. And what are positive thoughts, really? Don't give me a positive thought. Pray for me, okay? Because prayer moves the hand of God. Your thoughts don't do anything. But prayer does everything. And then the focus of prayer, verse 5, the Bible says, therefore prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Now watch this, for him. They were praying for Peter. They weren't praying for all the prisoners in the world. They're praying for Peter. It was not only intense, but it was specific. And we need to make our prayers specific. Sometimes I think we just pray in generalities, in case God doesn't answer, or if we pray in generalities, then God can answer, and we can say, see, there he answered. But God wants to answer our specific requests. And then number 6, the victory of the prayer. In verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night. Peter's sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. I don't know if they were asleep or not, but Peter's asleep. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. So there he is. He's to be executed the next morning, and he's asleep. And not only is he asleep, but he's sleeping so soundly that the angel has to punch him in the ribs to wake him up. And look at verse 7. Behold, the angel of the Lord came in upon him, and the light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up. Can you imagine this? Hey, Pete, wake up. Wake up, Pete. Here's Peter scheduled for execution, and he's asleep. You know, this is peace, isn't it? This is peace. I don't think I would have gotten a wink of sleep that night. But here, Peter, he's got peace in the middle of the storm. And I read this, and I thought about this, and I thought, how could Peter sleep in such a crisis? And then it dawned on me, Peter is no longer afraid of death. You know why? He's seen the risen Lord. He no longer has to fear death because he has seen the risen Lord. We don't have to fear death either because our Lord is risen. He's alive. And he has promised to be the first fruits of the resurrection. And he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I believe that. Death knows no terrors for Peter. And number two, I think, I didn't say here, but I think that he's at peace because he knows the church is praying. You know, isn't there a peace that comes over when you know that people are praying for you? I mean, if we've got a need, what do? We contact a friend of ours. We call the prayer chain or something. We say, would you begin to pray for us? And immediately we start feeling better because we know that there are people bombarding heaven for us. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, that is upon Peter, and a light shined in that prison and smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. The chains fell off his hands. The angel says, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. He says unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. Wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they kept on walking right on past the guards. They came to the iron gate which led into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. This door, this iron gate. You know, now we're used to those kind of things. You know, you go into the supermarket or store, you just step there, the thing opens up for you. They didn't have that in those days. And there they are, they're walking, and all of a sudden, the gate just opens up, and they walk right. It's an incredible story of God's power. It's more than just a story. It's true. It's something that happened. But I want you to notice something. In verse 10, that they went out and passed on through one street and forthwith, and the angel departed from him. That is, the angel only took him so far. And then the angel said, okay, Pete, I want you to see how the power of God is at work here. And some people might have thought that God was weak or unconcerned or didn't care. But God, he's got a plan. And God's moving in that plan. And you today might have a problem. You might have a crisis situation. And you might be saying, where's God? Where's God in all of this? Is God able to take care of my need? Does God care about me? And I want you to know today that he does. He does care about you. He loves you more than anything else in this world. He loves people. He loves everyone. And he is concerned about your need today. But it's interesting that Peter's deliverance came at the last moment. And the whole thing is just kind of leisurely acted on. This whole story is marked by leisure. When the angel comes in and says, Pete, wake up, and hits him in the rib. You know, come on, son, get up. What? Peter probably starts to wipe the cobwebs from his eyes. And, what time is it? Never mind what time it is. We're going to make a jailbreak. Pete, put on your clothes, put on your sandals, put on your coat. I mean, this whole thing is talked about as God not being in a hurry. You know, if you're going to have a prison break, it's like, hurry up. Do you really need to put on your shoes? Grab those things and let's go. No. We're going to go out of this prison and we're going out in style. You're going to go out fully dressed, shoes and a whole shebang. We're not going to sneak out of this place. We're going to walk right out the front door. There's just this leisureness about this. God moves in majesty and leisure. And they walk through the first gate, and they walk through the second gate, and then they come to the iron gate, and that opens all by itself, and then the angel leaves. And here's the seventh point of the message this morning. And don't miss this. Please don't miss this. It is the variable in the prayer. the variable in the prayer. Because here's something interesting, to me anyway. After the iron gate opens, Peter is going where? To the prayer meeting, right? Peter, after he realizes this wasn't a vision, this is really happening, he decides he's going to go to where the people are praying. He's going to go to that house, and he gets there, and the gate is locked. They're probably in fear. I mean, the authorities have already taken James and Peter. What's next? And so he comes, and the gate is locked, and he begins to knock. He knocks on that gate. Little maid comes, Rhoda, looks through the peephole, whatever it was. Somehow she sees it's Peter out there. She doesn't say, "Peter, come in." She runs back to where the people are praying, and she says, "God has heard our prayers." Peter's at the door. They say, "Rhoda, you must be having a vision. You must have seen his angels, his angel. Leave us alone. Don't you know it's Peter that we're praying for?" Love that faith, right? But we're praying for Peter to get out of prison. And what is Peter doing? He's just, "Hey, anybody home?" I said last week, you know, it was easier for Peter to get out of prison than it was to get in the prayer meeting. It's an amazing thing. But here's the thought I had. If God could unshackle all those shackles, open all these doors, and open this iron gate, don't you think he could have opened the gate to the house? That would have been a relatively easy thing, wouldn't it? But here's the point I want us to get today, that God takes us so far, and then he says, "Now I want you to do something yourself." We have to realize that in prayer, that often in prayer, God says, "Okay, you've done the work of prayer. Now I have a work for you to do after prayer." So many people in the Bible became answers to their own prayers. Do you realize that? God wants us to pray, but God wants us to be willing to act when he tells us to act. God wants us to be able to pray, and he wants us also to be able to work. And oftentimes, I think we think our prayers aren't answered. It's not that God hasn't answered our prayers, but God is going to take us so far, and then God says, "Now there, I want you to do something. I want you to put some faith in action, and I want you to act upon your prayer." I mean, if God could have opened the prison gate, he could have opened that gate to that house. But he let others do that. We can't change water into wine, but we can fill earthen vessels. See, God allows us the great privilege of working with him in answer to prayer. God wants us to do what's possible, and he will do the impossible. But we have to do that which is possible. And prayer is never, ever an excuse for laziness, and we need to understand that. Yes, we're to pray to God for daily bread, and yet the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I love the balance in the Word of God. And here it is. God is moving in majestic power, and God is still on the throne. And if you're here today and you're in a crisis situation, I gave you these four things before, but I think you need to remember them. Number one, don't demand to understand. Because often the will of God is sovereign. It is a mystery. And we don't understand it, but we accept it. We can't figure God out. Number two, remember the resource of prayer. And follow these points today and pray to God. And call your church to pray. That's what we're here for. And then number three, put your eyes upon God and rest in his love. Be patient. God is not in a hurry. God takes his time. And number four, expect God to move in that time. And in his own way. In other words, expect God to act in answer to prayer, but be willing to act yourself. But he is the Christ of every crisis, and prayer is the way to victory. Could I have you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? The worship team is going to come back. Here's what I would like you to do this morning. If your prayer life has not been marked with intensity and earnestness, maybe that's why not much power has been available. I would just like you to say, God, would you just change my heart so that when I pray, I would have the burden, that I would pray with an intensity, that I would wrestle. Lord, teach me how to intercede. Teach me how to really call upon you, that I could have the kind of power in my prayers like Elijah did that brought down rain from heaven, that I could pray up a storm, or that I could be part of a prayer movement that would open prison doors and set people free. Lord, would you give me that kind of ministry in prayer? And then just let God do it. Father, today, I think all of us want to be better prayer warriors. All of us want to see the power, your victory when we pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Make us the kind of people that can reach heaven when we're on our knees. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.